Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Should be a pretty quick episode today as we don't have a whole lot of Tesla news. We do have an estimated sales number for China for the month of February. We'll take a look at that. Also got an update on a very small recall, an accident involving a Tesla, and some new autonomy permits being granted in California. Tesla today was down 0.7% to $864.37, but a pretty decent overperformance to the market. The NASDAQ was down 1.6% on the day. All right, let's hop right into those China numbers. So like we do most months, we're getting an estimate here from Tesla China analyst. And I say estimate loosely because generally these are spot on, especially when they are coming after the end of the month, like they are in this case. I believe the accuracy in those circumstances has been 100%, and in general, probably 80 or 90%. So pretty high confidence that this number is accurate. And this account is saying 28,000 for February 2022. Now they always are looking at retail sales, so domestic China sales only. We'll get the numbers from the China Passenger Car Association officially reported in about a week. That will come with export. Those two combined add up to wholesale sales, which will be a lot closer to the production level that we actually care the most about. Anyway, assuming that this is pretty close to being accurate, if we put 28,000 in for February 2022, we can see that month over month, that would be a pretty decent increase, up 45%. And then if we compare to last year, February, these retail or domestic sales would be up 53% year over year. I think the only other interesting comparison here would be to look at the same month in the previous quarter. So that would be November, was the second month of Q4. Those sales were 31,700. So here we are slightly down from that, but you got to remember that February is a shorter month and we have the Chinese New Year to account for. That probably affected production more than sales, but still worth noting. And in either case, if we look at the first 2 months combined, we're at about 47,500 or so far for Q1 quarter to date, and then Q4 quarter to date at the same point was 45,500. So quarter to date, this would be up quarter over quarter, though we do have that big number from December looming when Tesla had over 70,000 sales domestically. Now, of course, until we get the export and production data, we're a little bit limited in terms of how valuable this information is, but I do think it's helpful to understand just the domestic picture as well, especially coming off of such a strong domestic quarter from Q4. I think it's a good sign to see a strong first couple of months for the quarter here, especially given some of the uncertainty that crept in for China domestically for Tesla last year heading into Q2. In terms of how the rest of this table shakes out, I'll just kind of walk you through what I'm looking for when we do end up getting the numbers. Not really a forecast, but kind of what I would like to see. Again, we did have the Chinese New Year and that affected production for the first week of February. We're not exactly sure because there was some signs of activity at Giga Shanghai from the Wuhan drone videos. So I'm accounting for those days to be anywhere from 0 to 50% production, which would take the already low 28 days in February down to maybe 22 to 25 total production days available. In January, Tesla produced 68,000 vehicles, so just under 2,200 per day. If we do assume 22 to 25 production days for February, then I'm looking for production somewhere between 50 and 55,000 to know that that production rate has been maintained. And then anything better than that, I would view as a win. That would show production rates increasing, even though we do expect the total number of vehicles produced to come down because of just a shorter month and that downtime. I don't necessarily expect any huge increases in the production rate until we see that additional line come on, which is expected sometime in April. So that's why I say if Tesla can kind of maintain the rate that they were at for January, certainly would be fine with that until that next step up. It's also worth noting again that Tesla did produce 8,000 more vehicles in January than they sold, so they've got that inventory surplus coming into the month. I think it's likely that that flips for February, maybe to 6,000 more vehicles being sold than produced. And based on ship tracking, it looks like somewhere in the ballpark of 30,000 exports looks relatively plausible. So then you could have 58,000 wholesale sales, about 52,000 production, right in the mid-range of those numbers I went through before. That all seems to fit pretty well together. Again, we will find out soon, but I like to understand the context as we go into those numbers being reported. All right, next up, we've got one of the smallest recalls ever, and we'll give it time in accordance. This is for 9 Model S's. Yes, just 9 Model S's. Refreshed versions that the supplier's manufacturing records indicate may not have had the side curtain airbags assembled properly. Next up, there has been some media coverage over the last couple of days about a crash that occurred this weekend involving a Tesla vehicle. This was first reported on, I believe, by local news in Missouri, and investigators have said that a 2019 Tesla had had a mechanical issue that caused it to lose power and stop in the middle of the interstate. Eventually, another vehicle crashed into it, and in total, 3 vehicles were involved. Unfortunately, the driver of the Tesla did not survive. I don't see information on the other vehicle's occupants, so hopefully they were okay. So pretty vague report there in terms of what that mechanical issue may have been, but hopefully something that Tesla's able to get good information on, and we'll just kind of keep an eye out for any results of that investigation. There doesn't seem to be any autopilot involvement here, so shouldn't be a concern on that front. All right, the other quick item for Tesla is that the Cybertruck has again been spotted at the Fremont test track, so we've seen this a few times now. In this case, though, we can see it with the tonneau cover up. Looks like there may be a bit of dirt that has accumulated there. Tough to say exactly how concerning that would be, but might present a bit of a question in terms of functionality. Since that is a moving part, if there is consistently dirt building up there, over time that could affect the reliability of that piece. Obviously, not an issue if it's kept clean, but still. The other interesting part of this is just seeing it parked by a Model S and I believe a couple of Model Xs, and just seeing the size comparison there, though I wouldn't read too much into that. Obviously, you can compare relatively, but keep in mind that there's definitely some lens distortion happening here. That's going to affect how it's looking, even with those comparisons. I mean, just look at the Model S, you can tell that it looks very stretched out. Next, we've got another update on production from Volkswagen. We've talked previously about how they intended to halt some of their production at Zwickau, as well as their Dresden plant. Zwickau is where they do a lot of their electric vehicles. And now today, they've given a warning that they do expect to have to halt production in the week of March 14th from their main Wolfsburg plant as well. Shortages may also affect other plants, including Emden and Hanover, and Volkswagen said that there may be further cuts to production. I'm not sure if Volkswagen confirmed, but Auto News does imply that that was because of shortages out of Ukraine. One of Volkswagen's sub-brands did comment directly, though, Škoda. They said that, quote, "Due to the current situation in Ukraine, Škoda Auto is facing critical supply shortages of parts from several local suppliers that have effect on some of our models," end quote. Škoda has cut production of the all-electric Enyaq. Interestingly, though, that brand does have two plants operating in Russia, and Volkswagen has said that those are still in operation. Anyway, we'll continue to keep an eye out for how this is affecting global supply chains. All right, last item for today, then. We've got an update from the California Public Utilities Commission in regard to services from both Cruise and Waymo. Both companies yesterday were issued driver deployment permits for San Francisco. So there's a couple of different levels here. There's pilot and then deployment. The difference between those is that for deployment, they can actually start charging for rides. And then there's drivered versus driverless. And I think the difference there is clear. Drivered still has a safety driver, whereas driverless would not. So you have drivered pilot, driver deployment, driverless pilot, driverless deployment. This news is Cruise and Waymo being permitted for driver deployment. And the level of permit varies, so they say that as of today, Cruise may provide driver deployment service on select public roads in San Francisco between the hours of 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. at speeds up to 30 miles per hour, so still pretty limited, and a safety driver. And then for Waymo, they may provide driver deployment services in designated parts of San Francisco and San Mateo counties at any time, day or night, at speeds up to 65 miles per hour. Moving into the deployment stage from the pilot stage also means that the California Public Utilities Commission will start collecting expanded data. Though I'm not sure exactly to what extent that is. All right, that is it for today then. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday, March 2nd episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.